I've tried to align myself with you, and from there, in little baby steps, take you with me to my energy level and my flow so that you can share a little bit more than just saying, well, this is my short answer. That's another one. Hypnosis works really well. You can use language patterns.
There's over 1.9 million podcasts. Most of them never see the results they expected. They want to monetize, but their show ends up costing them money, and they never achieve the listenership they desire. This show will help you launch, grow, monetize, and inspire with your podcast. Get ready to take notes, because here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hey, hey, it's Adam Adams. And generally, as you may have gotten accustomed to, any even-numbered episode is supposed to be me alone pouring into you and your business. However, I did so many different interviews with so many really, really good people that on this episode today, even though this would typically just be me pouring into your business, me just sharing something short, like 5, 10, 20 minutes, where I poured into you and your podcast and growing your brand and really getting you in front of everybody, I'm going to do that today with an interview. So let's get right into it. Welcome back to the podcast on podcasting. It's your host, Triple A, Adam A. Adams, and I've got Lubna Zaru on the podcast, and she's like right on top of the podcast, standing on it, not letting it up. Why do people say that you're on a podcast? I just realized how weird that sounds.
I have no idea.
But could you say in a podcast? You're like, Lubna's in the podcast. Because when I was 4 years old, I was with my grandma, and my grandma had a tape recorder, and she said, hey, talk to your mom. And I was like, my mom's in there? How did she fit? It was the weirdest thought. I was like, how is my mom going to hear me if I talk to this thing? Is she inside it or what? Yeah. So she's like, by the way, Lubna, you kind of know this already because I was on your show and we had such a good time on your show. So first and foremost, once you've listened a quarter way through to this podcast episode right now, you're going to be like, Lubna is the shit. I like her a lot. I want to see what else she's got going on. And so you're going to jump over to the Entrepreneur Sushi Club podcast. You're going to just type that in. I hope I even said it right. If I said it wrong, I'm going to be embarrassed. I'm like, I should have just put it in front of me. Then I couldn't have made a mistake.
No, it's absolutely fine. It's the Entrepreneurs Sushi Club.
Oh, because the entrepreneurs, they own it. It's the Entrepreneurs, and with your awesome accent, Sushi Club.
Correct.
Okay. Well, we had an amazing time there, and about a quarter way through with this episode, you're going to be like, I have to keep following this person. So you're going to jump over there. You're going to pause this. You're going to start listening to Lubna and her partner. We had such a fun time.
The premise of the podcast is having fun.
I agree. I used to not agree. It used to be just value. Like I thought if you have fun, you're just an entertainment podcast and only some types of people will listen. And so in my mind, Lubna, I was like, you either have fun or you do the right thing, which is add value to other people. And it wasn't until recently that I started trying to do both at the same time. I'm like, you know what? I could do both. So, Lubna.
Yes.
Why did you start your podcast? Why would you start a podcast that is about sushi and entrepreneurship?
Why wouldn't I?
I don't know. I mean, it's like, couldn't you have like a sushi one and an entrepreneur one? Why did you put them together? And were you not afraid that you were like going to lose a bunch of potential entrepreneurs listening to you by making it exclusive to the ones who don't like fried rolls?
I knew you were going to bring up the fried rolls. No, but I am a multi-passionate person. I have a variety of passions. And we as human beings tend to compartmentalize all of our passions. I like to combine them. I mean, I'm also known as the crazy ideas lady. So I come up with the weirdest combinations. And for me, it was after going through all of the events, all of the webinars with entrepreneurs, thinking they're only talking about entrepreneurship. I know you're thinking, That's logical, Lubna. What's wrong with that? Absolutely nothing. But for someone like me, who's interested in the human being behind the entrepreneur or the human being behind the senior executive, I want to know about you. I know that you're an entrepreneur and I would love to know more about that. But let's start with you, because let's be honest, if I strip away everything, your money, your business, your everything, what you're left with is your character.
Jail.
No.
Yeah.
Character.
You're not allowed to go out in public without clothes on. So that's like straight to jail.
But I didn't say that I would strip you from your clothes, Adam.
I missed it. Okay. I thought you said strip you from everything.
No, from your business, from your
okay.
From your labels, okay. Not your clothes. Come on.
Should we edit that part out?
Oh, God, no.
All right. I feel like I'm drinking wine and this is coffee. It's legit coffee. And for some reason, I feel like it must be wine. I'm not sure why. Keep going.
I have absolutely no idea. But so I'm interested in the character of people. I'm interested in the personality of people, because that tells me a lot more than what you do. Because what you do can be so many different things. I mean, you can tell me you're a coach or a speaker or an author, but that doesn't tell me who you are. And I'm interested in who are you. So in 2019, I thought I was reminded of a statement that someone, I can't remember who it was, and said, if you have a struggle or something that is frustrating you in the world, you either find someone who's already dealt with the struggle or you start something yourself. And I thought, what if I start a community called the Entrepreneur Sushi Club? That name came to me very quickly, where I get together with other sushi adoring entrepreneurs who like to have conversations about sushi, sometimes all day, every day, but also talk about entrepreneurship. Wouldn't that be cool? One, I would know I'm not the only one in the world who loves sushi. And two, it would be fun to see, is there a difference between sushi-loving entrepreneurs and non-sushi-loving entrepreneurs?
You would need to have a different podcast to figure all of that out, or you need to start interviewing people that you don't like. If you like fried rolls, I need to have you on my show, because we are very different people.
Yeah, no.
I almost got kicked off of your podcast because I liked fried rolls. So that's where this comes from. You'll have to go and listen to that other episode.
So I started, and it was a community at first, and that's what I wanted. I wanted to have deep connections and meaningful conversations with sushi-adoring entrepreneurs. But again, I didn't do anything with this idea, and it was in October 2019. Fast forward to December 2019, and I was at an event in Manchester in the UK, where I was one of the speakers, and Gail was there too.
What was the event?
The event was the Vision, Voice and Visibility Summit, a three-day event in Manchester in the UK. And I was speaking about how to incorporate more fun, flow and freedom into your business strategy. Lovely topic. We're on the first day. Some of the speakers were already there and we got introducing ourselves. And Woon, who is the third co-host of the podcast, says, I'm an owner of a podcast agency. And I turned to Gail and said, what if the Entrepreneur Sushi Club is a podcast? And she goes, yeah. And Woon said, finishes his intro and says, that's a great idea. I'm in. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Yeah, that's a great idea. We should do it. And I'm like, okay, I've got already two people who are enthusiastic about this idea and someone who knows about podcasting, because I had no idea where to start at that time. Far forward to Saturday, the day that Woon is speaking up on stage, sharing about how to start a podcast, how to think about your podcast concept idea, how to think about where you want to host it and how you want to edit it and what's important. And after sharing the segment around the podcast concept idea, he asks the audience to share their idea for a podcast. Now, I'm in the back of the room speaking to Gail, having a conversation, and I don't remember doing this. So this is all from Gail, who shared this with me and said, in the middle of our conversation, without even finishing the sentence that I was saying, I stood up, leaped to the front of the room, demanded the microphone from the mic runner, held the microphone in my hand at the front of the room, a room filled with 100 entrepreneurs, and said, we are launching the Entrepreneur Sushi Club podcast in January 2020. Now, bear in mind, Gail is in the back of the room thinking, what just happened? Where did she go? Why did she get up? Woon is on stage thinking, did she just say that we're going to do this? And I hadn't spoken to either of them, and the rest is history.
I love it. But You launched in January of 2020. So what happened?
Correct.
There?
So we came back from the 3-day event and really needed a month of coming back up to breathing. And I had a family member die suddenly. We didn't know that that was going to happen. I didn't even know that my uncle was in hospital. So that threw me a little bit off because
makes
I had
sense.
To focus on family first. A couple of weeks later, my grandmother died in Morocco, which extended that period of family focus for me. So before I could really say to Gail and Woon, okay, let's get our heads together. Okay, we've got the title of the podcast, but what's the concept? What do we want to bring into the world? And what do we need to do to launch the very first couple of episodes? I didn't want to launch with just one. And what do we want to do? And record them and start doing that. And if we want to have guests, then we need to come up with a strategy to reach out to people. And how are we going to do that? So before we had everything out, recorded the very first episode, got the very first guests planned and scheduled and recorded so that we can consistently launch every week, because that was the intention, it still is. It was the 26th of March.
Nice. And you're hitting your 1-year mark right now, which is awesome. What have you learned through the last year or so? I know that enjoying the podcast is a big thing with you. You guys on your podcast are always cracking jokes, just enjoying the time, asking, in my opinion, a couple silly questions. Like one of them was, if you were a sushi roll yourself, like, yes, what would you be made of? That's pretty interesting. And it doesn't really concisely add a bunch of value to the listener. They're like, oh, okay, that's how to be a better entrepreneur or anything like that, you know? But you have fun with it. And you're adding value. And I really liked that. Your podcast episodes are a bit shorter than mine. When I do an interview, most of the time we're going to be 40 minutes or longer.
Yeah.
With an interview. But with you, I think you try to keep it, what was it, like 20 minutes or 30 minutes?
Yeah, 20, 25, maximum 30 minutes.
Got it. How do you do that? Like, how do you add value and have fun and get into everything that you want to do in 20, 25 minutes on a podcast? Because like for me, and I'm asking literally just to learn.
Yeah.
For me, I feel like it's a challenge to, number one, I feel like it's a challenge to start having a relationship with your guest until the 20, 25 minute mark. For me, at least, because I'm so closed off. That's the type of person I am. Yeah. But additionally, once you get there and you start having healthy banter and you are resonating with each other and you're pulling out that value, I'm always thinking to myself, I need to get more value. How else can I squeeze the juice? So yeah, if you don't mind answering a little bit of that, like how do you keep it a 20, 25 minute podcast and do everything that you're seeking to do?
Yeah, it's a great question. So if you look at the very first
episode, thank you. I ask really good questions.
I acknowledge that, Adam. I acknowledge
that. And also super humble.
Yes.
Those are my two best traits. Go ahead.
Awesome.
And I interrupt people. Third best trait.
Brilliant. I do the same thing, especially if I'm passionate and enthusiastic. I get to, oh, I need to say this right now before I miss and it flies away again. It's an absolute great question. If you look at the very first couple of episodes that we did in 2020, you will discover that we did very long episodes. They could go up to 40, even some of them 50 minutes. I think that with Bob Doyle, who's one of the featured teachers from the hit movie, The Secret, I think we almost did an hour and we're having so much fun, but they're very long episodes and we can really go off on a tangent. So at the beginning of 2021, we looked at what would be a great format, what would be a great length for our conversations, given the purpose of our podcast, because we're not really a deep dive into entrepreneurship podcast. That's not the style of the podcast. So first of all, you need to be very clear about the purpose and intention of your podcast. The second thing is, both Gail and I have studied NLP, and one of the techniques that you learn in neuro-linguistic programming is to build rapport quickly with people, very quickly. So we take a couple of minutes And especially because we tend to do the interviews as co-hosts, so it's the two of us. It's either me or Gail, and we really get into it really quickly so we can ask those deep dive questions. So that's the second. You need to know how to do that. Whether you're an introvert or extrovert, whether you're closed or open, it's all of what you do in that moment. The third thing that is important, if you want to keep it at 20, 25 minutes, bearing in mind, that's about four questions that you can ask. If you want to give the guest the opportunity to really share and not make it a Spanish Inquisition, where a guest goes, yes, no, yes, no, which is one of the most boring things to listen to. So four. Our podcast, when we made the flip, we came up with four different questions. Now, the first is, what's your favorite sushi and why? And people can really dive into the story. One of the follow-up questions to that very first question is usually, how long ago and how did you get introduced into sushi? So really dive into, tell us a little bit about how, because most of the guests that we've had were introduced to sushi at a later age and through someone else, which is great to hear. And I like to dive into the fact that you can convert from not liking sushi into absolutely adoring sushi for those that do not like sushi. The second question is the personality question, is if your personality were sushi, what would the ingredients be? And just really helps the guests to think about, okay, I know some of the ingredients, maybe even by name, but connect it to your personality. You're an introvert, extrovert, are you chaotic or more of a clean, decluttered environment? It gives a little bit of insight into, and we either go deeper into that or not, depending on the vibe of the interview. So we have a third and we have a fourth. The fourth question is always, you're an entrepreneur, you have some form of expertise. What are the three tips that you can share with our audience from your expertise? So that is the most valuable part, you can say. So the first part is having a little bit of fun and getting to know the personality behind the entrepreneur. And the last part is, you've got expertise, but do it snappy, quick, so people can really take action immediately after listening to an episode. If you do this right and really let the guests speak and you have a good guest that knows that they can tell stories, then four questions, you will end up at 25, 30 minute mark easily.
I love that. So I host a lot of conferences like the one that you spoke at in December of 19. And we're hosting these all the time, well, around COVID. And one thing that I noticed is when we're doing a panel discussion, most people think, all right, we've got 5 minutes. So let's have five people ready to ask this panel a question. So that's about a minute a question. And I'm like, no, we have 5 minutes. That is one question. Because it just tends to always go. One question is generally, on average, in my experience, about 5 minutes. So if you have 10 minutes, that's two questions. And if I'm wrong and it goes a little bit short, don't worry. I'll ask a question or I'll let somebody else come up. But I never want to have too many people up. A lot of people starting podcasts brand new, I think this is a huge takeaway for them, because they'll be like, all right, here's the 12 questions that I need to ask on every single episode. I don't know if you can hear the vacuum. Can you hear the vacuum? You can.
I heard it. Not anymore, to be fair.
Yeah. So that doesn't happen very often. They only clean the office like once a month. So you are lucky to have the vacuum on your episode. That is, you don't win a prize or anything, but it is still a very good thing. Like, you want it. Everybody's
this is real life. I mean, after more than a year of global pandemic and lockdown, I think most of us are used to either hearing children, dogs, or vacuums.
Right. I agree. They are. And at least we can laugh about it later. So wanted to find out what you mean by NLP. It is something that I want to study a little bit more. But if you could just mention to the listener who heard you say just three letters, they don't know what it means, let them know, like, the tangible, what is NLP? Why is it good? Why do you use it on your podcast?
Yeah. So NLP stands for neuro-linguistic programming. So neuro means it is connected to the brain and how the brain works. So we're taught how does that work and what does that mean for how you want to communicate effectively with someone. Linguistic means language. So that refers to how you can use language patterns to impact and influence other people. And the programming part is the influence and impact part. Now, for some of you who have heard about NLP, or maybe not, you might be thinking right now, oh, that is manipulative. Knowing the tools from NLP, yes, if they are misused, they can be very manipulative. One of the tools being you learn how to put someone under hypnosis. Now, you can use that.
Have you done that to me before?
I'm not going to tell you, Adam. That would just ruin the fun. Most people think, oh my God, hypnosis, you're going to put me under and I'm going to do crazy things, which is the misusing the technique and tool. And it could be any tool or technique in the world. It doesn't have to be from the toolbox that is called NLP. But I use it because I really wanted to enhance the effectiveness of my communication. So building rapport, so building connection in a minute, because sometimes you don't get more than a couple of minutes to build that connection with someone you just met, a complete stranger that doesn't know you. So that's one of the techniques that has been invaluable for me, both in when I still was in a corporate job, as well as now as an entrepreneur. The simplest way that I can explain it is a toolbox filled with different techniques that have been modeled by people that do something successfully that you can use for yourself, as well as when you are talking to someone, whether that is a one-to-one conversation or you're speaking from stage, or if you want to use it in a coaching setting to really help people change their thinking and changing their behavior and their choices.
Okay. So do we need to study NLP to be a good podcaster?
It helps. Some of the techniques on that really help.
Can you share one or two?
Building rapport is the best one. It's the most effective one, especially if you want to keep it a 30 minutes interview. You want to build that rapport really quickly, then that is absolute best. Another one, if you have ever had, or you're going to experience that in the future, if you're starting out, a guest that doesn't have a lot of guesting experience. So whenever you ask them a question, they keep their answers really short. You want to make them comfortable, but you also want to craft questions that you want to ask them that will make them open up. And one of them is pacing and leading. That means that I come to your side of the, I've tried to align myself with you. And from there, in little baby steps, take you with me to my energy level and my flow so that you can share a little bit more than just saying, well, this is my short answer. That's another one. Hypnosis works really well. You can use language patterns to get someone to share.
Okay. How do you do that? Give me an idea.
Well, first of all, you need to know that person. So you need to calibrate. So if we were having a conversation, I would probably ask you a couple of questions to know what your language patterns are and calibrate. That's called calibration in NLP world. And from there, I would ask you probably, depending on the calibration, whether you're not someone who would either close their eyes or not, but really bring you into a trance so we can shut off the consciousness and go into the subconscious. And there I would ask you questions. You would still be awake and you would know everything that is happening. So it's not the category of putting you under hypnosis and making you do crazy things and you not knowing about it or not remembering that you did. That's not the real story behind it. But yeah, that would be a way to do it. And if you're someone who uses meditation or another technique in mindfulness, you can put yourself in a trance. And the easiest example that I can give you, if you have a driver's license, you've ever driven on the highway and you're going really fast, you've ever noticed sometimes, and I've noticed so many times, that you look at a sign that's giving you directions and you see a certain amount of miles or kilometers, depending on where you are in the world. And then you look down and you just drive. And at some moment, it seems like you've woken up and you look at it and think, I just drove 10 miles, but I have no recollection of doing that in any way. You were under hypnosis. You've just put yourself in trance.
So I think I do that more than I ever would have expected. I thought that I couldn't be hypnotized. I've been to a lot of hypnotist places and they've come to our schools and things like that. And I tried really hard one day to be hypnotized and I basically just faked it. And I did the things that all of the hypnotized people were doing. The hypnotist knew that I don't know how they would know that I was faking it because I was doing a really good job doing exactly what everybody else was doing. And he's like, you with this, you with this. And I'm like, why isn't he picking me? I look just like them. But he didn't pick me. So I always thought I can't get hypnotized. Meditation is something that's really tough for me. But I frequently am driving and I'll be like, wow, I don't remember the last 10 minutes. I'm glad that I didn't get in a wreck because somehow I was not really paying attention, but I drove here, stayed in the right lane, used my blinker when I needed to, but it was in some type of trance. Yeah. So all that's really interesting. And I want to give you an opportunity to kind of just turn it over to you and let us know, like, you've already given plenty of tips, but I know you have more in you. We're brand new. We've had our podcast, most listeners, less than 2 years, and many of them are about to launch. What are some good tips to make sure that we are getting good guests? I'll just ask one at a time. Yep. Let's just ask that one.
Good guests. What we did at the beginning of our podcasting journey is we asked our friends. And we asked our friends that have a certain positioning in the marketplace. So people know them. They've got a community behind them. They've got some followers. So when the episode dropped, we know that whether they share it or not, by us sharing it and tagging them, their followers would see it. So I would suggest to do that specifically in the beginning when you're building your visibility. So really be very mindful about who you ask. We're very lucky because we know a couple of people that are famous. I already mentioned Bob Doyle from The Secret. If you're into the law of attraction, you know about Bob Doyle. So we had him on the podcast, but also we had Tasha Chen, who has a massive community behind her. So they know a lot of people. So look at some of the people that you know. If you were to go out now into some of the Facebook groups around podcast guesting and podcast connection, is you will discover if you post in them looking for guests, you will get a lot of people, not necessarily the right people for you in the start of your journey, because everyone wants to be a podcast guest because they use it as a marketing strategy. Rightfully so. It's a great way to enhance your reach and be known in communities that you may not be connected easily. So I would be very mindful for the very first type of guest that you invite to your podcast. Another tip is make a decision on whether you want to do a solo podcast, so you're the only one that is speaking and you're providing value from your expertise, or that you want to do a guesting, so you interview guests on the podcast. With interview guests, realize that you're giving the guest a platform. It's less about you, it's more about the guest and giving them an opportunity to shine. What I see happening now a lot is the combo. So they launch 2 episodes a week, for example, and the very first one is a solo episode or a guest episode, and the second one is a solo episode where they reflect on what the guest shared, but also have the opportunity to share their own expertise. So I would suggest consider doing a combo. Doing a podcast, I would say it is a commitment. I mean, we've committed to doing 1 episode a week, and I would say that is a bare minimum if you really want to take this seriously, because most people start a podcast, but if you look for the podcast beyond the 1-year or 2-year mark, you will find that they've just stopped doing episodes. So yeah, if you're going to do this for the long haul. That's one of the reasons why I say make it your fun project. Make it something that you absolutely enjoy. I mean, I love connecting with people. I love having conversations with people. The only difference is I'm recording them right now and sharing them with the rest of the world, which is a similar practice as if Adam and I were sitting in a coffee shop having a good cup of coffee right now, and someone from a table or two further are listening into a conversation because they are intrigued.
I didn't know you were done. So I was like thinking that you had a lot more, but I've been taking really good notes. Number one, being mindful of the type of guests that you're going to have, especially in the beginning. You mentioned Bob Doyle and another person that have good following and you had them in the beginning. I have so many questions on this. Number one is there's controversy. It's a little divisive. Some people say, you need to have big guests like Bob Doyle. You need to have these. Others say they do nothing to help you. Those big guests don't share it. They're being too salesy on the podcast. And what you really want is just down-to-earth people that are not famous, because they're more likely to share it. And in some cases, more likely to give value. So it's really polarized, and I want to find out why your thought is that you should have Bob, and I don't remember the lady's name. What is it?
Tasha Chen.
Tasha Chen. So what should the listener take away? Do we need to find big guests? Should we have little guests? What is the consideration for whether or not we have somebody who launched the secret, or if we just have our mom or our brother or our uncle or our best friend or our business partner as one of our first guests?
Again, I would say that it depends on your purpose and the purpose behind your podcast. Now, what we did when I started, I said, I want to be inclusive as much as possible. So for the Entrepreneur Sushi Club podcast, we literally have two criteria. One is you're an entrepreneur or a business owner. Number two, you like or love sushi. And whether that is vegetarian sushi, vegan sushi, or you're a sushi purist, I could care less. That's it. Whether you have a following of one or you have a following of 10,000, I could care less. My intention behind the podcast is I want to connect with entrepreneurs and business owners who like sushi and love having a conversation about it. So that is what we go for. We still do that. If you answer yes to both those questions, you can become a guest on the Entrepreneur Sushi podcast. I'm not going to say I only want big guests. Absolutely not. Now, we are lucky. Bob Doyle's a good friend of mine. I know Bob personally. I know his girlfriend personally. So it was not us reaching out and saying, hi, Bob, you're so amazing. And I saw you in the hit movie, The Secret. I want you as my guest on the podcast. He probably said no if I had done it that way. We know him. We've spent time with him face to face. He knows about us. So he said yes to us as his friends. So it wasn't for me. I'm not mentioning Bob because he's a big person. I'm mentioning Bob because he's a friend of mine and he said yes to being a guest on the podcast. Now, whether he shared it or not, I'm the first person to tell you, I never check. We ask each and every one of our guests if they are willing to share the episode. I never check whether they do that or not. I don't. I do not care. If you want to share it, that is you sharing an asset on the internet about you and showcasing that you have been on a podcast and you want to show your expertise. Now, I do that. Every time I am a guest on a podcast, I will share the episode and I will do whatever I can to share the episode. But I never check. I've never checked if someone does it or not. And I will never do that because the only thing that I want to do is ask you to do it and you decide whether you want it or not. Now, if you do so, you'll get connected to my audience and Gail's audience just as much as you connected to your own audience. So it's a win-win-win situation if you do so. But if you don't, fine. I'm not going to come after you or pull the episode in any way, shape, or form. That's not why I'm doing the podcast. I'm doing the podcast because I want to feature other sushi-adoring entrepreneurs. So again, look at your intention, look at your purpose. I will not say no to a big guest. I'm just not going to go pay for them. And I'm not going to spend months trying to convince them to be on the podcast.
Okay, cool. A lot of value. So you mentioned solo episodes versus guest interviews. You said something to the effect of the listener now who's a podcaster should consider doing a combination of some solo, some guest interviews. And as I understand it, you're putting out about one episode a week right now. And that's the minimum that you suggest. And I know for a fact, as somebody who was a guest, that you definitely do have guest interviews. Are you doing the every other like you suggested? Are you doing like where it's just you adding value sometimes and other times you're interviewing somebody? And if you're not doing a combo, do you perhaps plan to add that other portion in?
Yeah, I'm not doing the combo, not for the Entrepreneur Sushi Club podcast. That is such a niche podcast that it would be weird if I were to do a session. And I've already done the solo episode on the Entrepreneur Sushi Club. It was one of the first episodes that we did where I shared more about me. But because of the purpose and intention of our podcast, and it's so niche, it seems weird to do that. So one of the things that I'm going to add this year is my own podcast. And those will be solo in combination with guest expert. It will be on the topic that I want to be known for. So that is the work smarter and work happier.
Smarter and happier. Let me ask, because I really do think that as somebody who support a lot of podcasters, and my goal is I want them to launch, grow, monetize, and inspire others. A lot of people starting podcasts realize that they can't have the inspiration, the influence that they're looking for without a good audience. And they can't make money with their podcast without listeners. There's just nobody that's going to pay to have crickets listening. Nobody's going to do that. But as I think about some of the value that you've been dropping on launching a new podcast and starting it, making sure that you're going to do it for the long haul and everything like that, I wonder, how does the Entrepreneurs Sushi Club podcast feed into your business exactly?
Right now, it doesn't. The Entrepreneurs Sushi Club podcast is my fun project. I do that because I genuinely enjoy doing it. It has absolutely nothing to do with business. I'm not doing it because I want to generate leads from it or even clients. I'm doing it because I want to grow a community of entrepreneurs that like and love sushi. I want to be in that community. I want to be connecting more with that type of person. So that is why I'm doing it.
Okay. So for most of us, having a passion project is good. Having hobbies is good. I want to find out what makes you be able to sustain doing this for the last year and continue to do it if it's not feeding into you financially.
Well, I'm not all about money, and I'm making money through other things. I'm a speaker, I'm a coach. So I'm making the money that I need to sustain myself and to be able to make a bigger impact. So this podcast is, its purpose is to create an impact, not income for me. And that is how I've positioned it. Having said that, we have had the conversation around, do we want to move into sponsorship or that type of thing for the podcast? But to be really fair, it's such a passion project for myself, but also for Galen Woon, that we're not pressing that. I mean, Woon is the owner of a podcast agency. He's launched his own podcast. He supports other entrepreneurs with their podcast. Gail is about to launch her own podcast as well. So this is really fun. And we're seeing that as we're creating an impact and we're connecting. And the other things, that's one of the reasons that I want to launch my own podcast as well, is that will be something that is aligned with my business more than the Entrepreneur Sushi Club podcast. So for me, it's still passion. It's still impact oriented, community oriented. So it's very specifically geared towards that. And all of the other things is I make my money through other avenues.
Okay. And I'm going to keep pressing the same topic for a minute more.
Yeah. Go.
With that said, do you or can you or have you done business with your guests on the show? In a follow-up, do you, can you, or have you mentioned what you do as a business and perhaps had a listener reach out and ask you more about those services?
The last situation has never happened. I've never had a listener reach out and ask about my products and services. The first has happened. So one specific guest that we had last year is now a collaboration partner for me. We are about to launch a challenge together. We're going to do a workshop. So we're collaborating on launching a paid product into the world. Yes, that has happened.
Excellent. What is your business? Who is your perfect client? And how do you serve them?
Like I said, my perfect client is a purpose-driven entrepreneur. So someone who wants to create an impact in the world and doesn't care just about money, because I don't care just about money. You need it. Don't get me wrong. And if you have it, you can create a bigger impact and support others. So I'm all about those purpose-driven entrepreneurs. They want to contribute to something bigger themselves. They are multi-passionate, multi-interested. So they have more ideas than lifetime to implement. So one of their biggest struggles is overwhelm and frustration and feeling stuck because they think, which one of these ideas I'm going to implement first, which excites me the most. And one of the issues that they also have is, I've got so much to do and too little time. How can I craft my day, my week, my month, my life, and my business in a way that I can do all of the things that I'm interested and enjoy doing, whether that is spending time with your family or focusing on your health and well-being, which I'm a big advocate for. So that's someone I'm targeting, and I'm helping them in a variety of ways. The very first station that most of my clients come to me for is, I've got too much to do, too little time. I need to create those habits and routines that help me to get everything done without working harder and longer. So that's the first thing.
That's the first thing.
Yeah.
Is there something else?
Yes, because there are so many different tools, techniques on how to work smarter and work happier. And it is an ongoing journey. I mean, it's not a one-off thing and then you're done, because as you grow and as your business grows and evolves, new challenges are introduced. So you're going to be challenged on different things. I mean, if you're a solopreneur now listening to this, then you're going to be focusing on creating those habits and routines for yourself. But when you grow and scale, if that is your purpose and intention, then you're going to get team members. How do you create flow within your team members? How do you make sure that they work smarter and happier so they get to contribute to your business in the longest way without them getting into a burnout or stress or whatever else?
So if I was your client today, where would we start?
Or what's your biggest challenge right now?
You and your NLP hypnotizing me. I'm not even sure what kind of trance I'm in right now.
So when we started our conversation, Adam, you said there is so much to do and so little time. So one of the very first thing that we would do together is, okay, what do you have on your plate? Is it right now in your head? Or do you have it on a piece of paper? So most of my clients, when they come to me, said, I'm overwhelmed. They said, where are all your ideas? What do you have going on? They said, it's all in my head. So one of the very first strategies, okay, well, let's brain dump everything, because your brain is not designed to keep all of those. You need to put it in somewhere else so that your brain capacity helps you on the creativity side. Because right now you're holding on to everything in your brain and it's losing energy. And you need to tap into your CEO function at the front of your brain, and they don't have enough energy to do that. So you're keeping stuck every time. So that's where we would start, Adam.
Awesome. Lubna, thank you. For the listener, they can find your podcast, Entrepreneurs Sushi Club Podcast, by going wherever you're listening to this, jump on over, do me a favor, listen to an episode or two, and give her an honest written review about the podcast once you've heard an episode or two.
And make it fun. Listen make to fun. Adam's episode and then give a review.
Which is already in the show notes. That makes it easy. So, Lubna, if your perfect client is listening, how do they find you? How do they reach out to you?
The best way to reach out to me is one of the social media platforms. So whatever that is your playground, whether that is LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, or Clubhouse, just send me a message and I'll hop on a call.
Awesome. Thank you for jumping on. Really appreciate your time. It was fun to see you again. And I know that we'll see each other again in Clubhouse. Additionally, I want to come back on your podcast again. That was one of the most fun experiences. If you're listening and you do love sushi and you love entrepreneurship, that's where you're focused. Lubna already said, hey, if you have one follower or 10,000 followers, reach out to her. You can get on the show. And didn't you look it up? Isn't it like a top 1 or 2% podcast or something like that?
Oh, God, that's a funny story. I didn't look it up. I had no idea. I was interviewed on a podcast a couple of weeks ago. And the very first thing that the host said was, you're a top 10% podcast. I'm like, what? I didn't know.
How funny. Jump in, go check it out, especially if you like sushi. These two are awesome. They're a lot of fun. If you need any help with your podcast, go to growyourshow.com. I'd be more than happy to help you. There's plenty of links on growyourshow.com where you can just schedule a call with me one-on-one, and we can just go through your situation, whether you have a podcast or where you're about to start a podcast. Just make sure that you get the most value possible, that you're able to really get in front of the right people. Lubna, thank you for jumping on. I really appreciate it. Really good to see you again, and we're out. We're done. Bye for now.
Well, thank you for having me. Bye.
Of course. This episode is brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.